right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. So our phones over the last couple mornings have not been working. I don't know if they're working now, if they're up and running now. But I can let you know we're working on it. So keep trying. 844-967-2789 is the number. We'll get them up and running, I promise you. But again, I was talking about a couple things, and I want to finish up this subject before we move forward. And that's that you should expect from people who are in positions such as, you know, pastors and others, and, you know, people and politicians and others, I don't care what it is, business leaders, you should expect people to be people of character. And so oftentimes, far too many times, we find out they're not. And, you know, it's one thing to make mistakes. Nobody's perfect, and everybody makes mistakes. But there's another thing altogether different when you strive to try to live your life right, you know. And leadership requires that of you. And so that's part of what, you know, we deal with in this country, where people rely so much on people who are in positions of leadership. I don't care if they're actors, actresses, athletes, all of those different kinds of people who are in the forefront, and we see them and we admire them, and then we find out that there's somebody altogether different. You know, you might be able to say, okay, well, it was an athlete. They fail. Okay, we understand that. They're not perfect. We'll give them the benefit of the doubt. It could be an actor or an actress. Well, they fail. Okay. They're an actress. They're an actor. We'll give them the benefit of the doubt. Oh, it's a businessman. You know. They fail, okay, it's the benefit of the doubt. You know, it's a radio talk show host. Okay, you fail, we understand that. Benefit of the doubt. But priest, you know, imam, sheikh, potentate, no, you don't get the benefit of the doubt. Not in those positions. Because there are too many people whose lives are impacted by what you do and what you say. When you're in the spiritual arena and you have that ability to impact people's lives and direct their lives, there's a higher standard. So again, prominent evangelical pastor tearfully steps aside after unwise relationship. Matt Chandler's leave of absence from the Village Church near Dallas comes as Southern Baptists are already facing challenges. Many Southern Baptist pastors have been accused of kind of doing the same thing that Archbishop Wimbert Weakling did. The pastor of a prominent evangelical megachurch near Dallas abruptly announced an indefinite leave of absence on this past Sunday, effective immediately, because of an online relationship he had with a woman who is not his wife. So, man, what is, you know, how can you tell people about how they should live their lives, and yet behind the scenes, you know, you're not living that life. Man, can you imagine the demons that you have to deal with on a daily basis when you come before those people and tell them about their shortcomings and what they need to do to live their lives and clean themselves up. And this is a mega church, and all of these people were looking at this guy and believing in him, and trying to straighten their lives out as he tells them about their sins and all those things. And then you find out, you know, that he was right at the top of the list of those doing the sinning. So, you know, I began this whole conversation with people in these leadership roles and what they should do and what you should expect from people in those leadership roles in their lives. And so when people find out that they are not that, they are devastated. Their lives are changed forever because the person that they were looking up to let them down. Not only did they let themselves down, but they let so many people down. So, you know, it's some of those things that we must really realize is we should never place anybody on that higher level or that higher standard, because man is fallible. But all I can do is tell you about me and what I attempt to do with my life. And I think that what I'm not going to do is let anybody down from trying to be somebody that I'm not. Okay? And I think everybody who's in those positions of leadership should do the same. And I think if once we can do those things, I think now we talk about having a better country, a better life, a better opportunity for all people to, you know, to move forward and make this a better place. I want to talk about something that I think is another one of those things that really bothers me. So Dan Bice, who's a writer for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, put an article in the paper today. Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes had 10 times more hours of security than his predecessor, the former lieutenant governor. Is that an issue? I mean, is that really an issue? The fact that, you know, the guy before him didn't feel like he needed to have any security. But Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, who has a bullseye on him for a couple reasons, and we'll get into that as we move forward with the show. Why is there something crazy in a society where people are shot down every day, in a gun-crazy society, and with people who can't control themselves, who are racist and other things? And so when you're in a position of leadership and you are publicly out there, it's shameful. If you look at the chronicles of history, you will see how many times people have been murdered. And so what's wrong with a person who's out front? And today especially, as you look at all the death threats that are being thrown around by people when it comes to people in the public. And if you follow the historical realities of what has happened, what has taken place, you will know that if there's an opportunity for you to protect yourself and your life, we live at a time when there are people who will take it. Make no mistake about it. So here's the story. If Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes is elected to the U.S. Senate, he's in for a change in security and transportation. Unless they hold one of five leadership positions, senators don't automatically get officer protection and drivers as lieutenant governors in Wisconsin have from the state patrol since 2011. So the lieutenant governor, Mandela Barnes, did not request security. It is something that is a practice in the state of Wisconsin, and it happened before Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes ever took the seat. If that's the case, and it is, and it's been that way, and lieutenant governors have received protection from the state patrol since 2011, why is this an issue? This is what they do. All lieutenant governors in the state of Wisconsin receive a security detail. If that's the case, and it is, how is this a story? What has Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes done? He didn't request the support, the state patrol. It's there. It's a part of it. But yet, Dan Bice, editorial writer for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, tries to make this an issue. So when we get back, I'm going to continue the conversation. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Keep trying to call. We'll get the phone lines up and running. I promise you. They're working on it as we speak. So I'm talking about an article in today's Milwaukee Journal Sentinel where Dan Bice, is a writer for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, a longtime writer, who wrote an article about the fact that Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes has security detail. And again, this is what Wisconsin State Patrol has done since 2011. It doesn't matter who's in that seat, they are going to offer them a security detail. So in his first 3 years as the state's number two, Barnes has averaged more than 13 and a half hours of security protection a day, including weekdays, weekends, and holidays. At a daily cost to the state of $660 for patrol officers' wages. That's more than 10 times the number of hours as his predecessor. Whose fault is that, right? How is that an issue? And so this is the kind of thing that frustrates me when we're talking about right and wrong. Republicans clearly are going to try to make this an issue. How is it an issue? They do that for every lieutenant governor. I see the phone lines are up. Let's go to the phone line and CJ. Hey, CJ, what's going on?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Earl. Do you not see the hypocrisy of this candidate?
No, I don't. Tell me the hypocrisy of him. You tell me.
His platform is defund the police. Oh, now he's going to back off of that because he knows it's not going to get him elected. And what's abolish ICE? And you're going to see that picture with him wearing that T-shirt. The hypocrisy of the Democrats and the Democrat Party speaks loudly. We've got businesses, and the claim that he needs security now.
Wait a minute, because otherwise I'm just going to turn you down. I'm going to correct you from this point forward. When you're on my show, I'm not going to let you spew incorrect information. He didn't say he needed any security. Listen to me clearly. The article states that Wisconsin, the state of Wisconsin, has provided state patrol security for anybody who's a lieutenant governor since 2011. He didn't request it. It's what the state provides. So I'm not going to let you, again, do what you do, put out erroneous information. Go ahead.
But I wasn't wrong about abolish ICE, and I wasn't wrong about defund the police, though, was I, Earl?
Let me say this to you, man. Republicans right now are saying defund the FBI. They're saying that clearly. Wait a minute. Again, I'm not going to let you come and point out what you say Mandela Barnes, Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes said, when I'm reading every day and watching this, Republicans saying defund the FBI. What's the difference?
But the Republicans didn't say defund the police.
They said defund the FBI.
Your candidate did.
They said defund the FBI.
Who said that?
Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Wait a minute. You asked me.
She didn't want oversight. She said defund the FBI, and she's not alone.
Defund the police, Earl.
Listen, man. I'm not going to play semantics with you.
Because you can't defend them.
I'm not going to play semantics with you. If you can't comprehend, and let me say this to you, I'll say defund the police. What did I say? That's a crime.
Oh, really?
Respond to it.
You believe defund the police?
Whether I believe defund the police or not, it didn't happen. It's not going to happen.
Your Democrat candidate Mandela Barnes believes in defund the police. Let me tell you this.
Ron Johnson is on the record that's talking about changing the way Social Security and Medicare is handled.
So let me say this to you.
Whether or not somebody says defund the police, or whether somebody says it was a mistake to fund Social Security and Medicare, we need to put that on the New York Stock Exchange. What is more harmful and more hurtful to people? It is clearly those people who are on Social Security and Medicare, in which I am.
George Bush wanted to privatize Social Security.
And he was forced to withdraw it
by the Democrats.
Listen, man. I got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. You know, CJ, I'm really going to talk a lot about people like you in the coming hour and a half, and the danger, the inherent danger of people like you to this society.
Like me.
Yeah, got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back. Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. You know, dare I mention his name, CJ, who somehow, again, can't discern the fact that, you know, I was talking before we went to break about the fact that Lieutenant Governor for the state of Wisconsin, Mandela Barnes, has a security detail that he didn't ask for that comes along with the position. And somehow Dan Bice thinks that that's news, that, you know, it's costing $660 a day for patrol officers' wages. And that's more than 10 times the number of hours as his predecessor. He didn't ask for it. How was that an issue? Ron Johnson's officials were highly critical of these security calls, labeling them excessive. But Barnes staffers say all decisions about the security detail are made by the state patrol, not the lieutenant governor or his staff. Nationally, security costs have gone up. But here's the deal. How is it an issue if he himself has no control over the fact that there's security? You know, these are the kinds of things that, you know, clearly are there to mislead the public. And it's one thing for Republicans to do it. I understand why they'll do it. They're going to do anything they can within their power because their guy, Ron Johnson, is losing to a guy who's 35 years old, a two-term United States Senator who it's almost impossible to defeat a sitting senator. And yet Ron Johnson is on the ropes. And he's on the ropes because he's out of touch. Him, his policies, the person that he is what's going to cost him his seat. Republican principles are going to cost him his seat. And so it doesn't matter, you know, how they try to slander Mandela Barnes, Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes. They're going to pay a price. He's going to lose. And so expect more and more of these things as we move closer and closer to the election time. The fact that Ron Johnson is who he is, who he's always been. CJ is not going to be able to rescue him. And neither are conservative talk show hosts. We already know who he is. He's been there going on 12 years. And his arrogance and the fact that he has refused to do what's in the best interest of the average person is going to be the reason that Ron Johnson is going to be unseated, as well he should. Now let's get to this. I talked quite extensively with Sandy Williams on yesterday about what's going on with this nation and the two sides of things that are going on. And the fact I had a conversation with my conservative friend on the other day, who I thought knew better, but he does not know better, because they believe these people who are out here on the far right, who are not going to get things their way. What do you say? How can you support a man? This is yesterday, Connor, and this is in the Huffington Post. Donald Trump demands to be declared president. Yesterday, he declares to be 2 years later. He's demanding that he gets, you know, put in as president of the United States. You're talking about a lunatic. You're talking about a man who's got some psychological issues. Why are people still pushing for this man who clearly has some psychological challenges? Anybody who doesn't understand it, who is dealing with a mental illness, you may say, Earl, how can you say that? I told you I have a son who's mentally ill. And so when you're dealing with delusions, which is what my son deals with, but we know that's what Donald Trump is dealing with, delusions. What are the chances that somebody's going to appoint him the president of the United States 2 years later? If you can't figure that out, you got some issues, right? I mean, just common sense would tell you that any person who somehow 2 years later thinks that of all places, the United States government is going to sit down the president of the last 2 years and put him in place, needs to have some evaluations done. You know, if anybody needed any more evidence that Donald Trump is sick, it's the fact that he is declaring now that he should be appointed president of the United States. How do you reconcile that? Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. There are people out here who are saying, well, the people on the left don't want Donald Trump to run for office, so they're doing everything within their power so Donald Trump doesn't get a chance. They're afraid that Donald Trump will defeat Joe Biden if he runs for office. Come on now. Don't you understand? Anybody with a modicum of common sense would say, we want Donald Trump to run, because there are more people out here in the world who know that he's got some psychological issues. He'll never get reelected president of the United States ever again. It doesn't matter what you say. He's been proven to be a person who's unstable. We saw that for the 4 years he was in office. The Republican Party, he's going to destroy. He's on his way to doing that now. And it doesn't matter, those of you who support him, who love him, you can't stop the destruction that's coming. Watch it every day. If ever there was a time chronicled in history, it's the sad saga of Donald Trump. It plays out every day. the real issue is the fact that this man, who's psychologically damaged, can order an army of thugs to make threats of overthrowing the society. And people make excuses for that. That's where the nation is. And then there are conversations about the fact that, you know, there's going to be civil war. Civil war? Why would that even be discussed? Well, they won't let my man, you know, they're doing all these things to prevent him from running for office. Nobody's doing anything to prevent him from running for office. Every time he opens his mouth, nothing comes out of it other than something that puts another nail in his coffin. And so nobody can prevent him from doing what he's doing. And you, those of you who love him, you see him every day. And I know you got to say, oh, why doesn't he just shut up? He can't. He can't. Because he doesn't even comprehend the times, where we are, and what's going to happen. Is that the kind of man? You talk about the fact, well, Joe Biden is too old. He's, you know, he's an old man. He can't do this and he can't do that. Well, what he is a man who comprehends the time and what must be done. He sees that. He clearly does, regardless of the fact that he's certainly, you know, up in age. But compare him with Donald Trump. Who would you say is a more sane person? Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You know who that is. But yet these people who are willing to destroy the country for this man. Again, yesterday, declare the rightful winner, and this would be the minimal solution. Declare the 2020 election temporarily compromised and have a new election immediately, Trump wrote. Did you hear that? Yesterday, not 2 years ago. Yesterday, declare the right winner, or, and this would be the minimal solution, declare the 2020 election irreparably compromised and have a new election immediately. That's what your hero is requesting of the government. I just do not understand that. And those of you who follow him, 844-967-2789 is the number. And even if you don't, we're at a point in this that is not funny. A man who is psychologically in trouble. I told you, I have a son who has those kinds of thoughts. But I know him, and we know he's been diagnosed with that. So we take with a grain of salt the things that he says. But here's a man who hasn't been diagnosed with it. You can see it. And yet many of you are not willing to accept that. And he's the leader, and he's the guy who's endangering the society. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. 2789 is the number. You're tuning into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be back.
My heart blames it on me.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. New York Times this morning. I see you, Jack. I'll be coming right to you. New York Times this morning. Biden to focus on battle for the soul of the nation in primetime speech. The president is set to return to his campaign theme of democracy in peril as his party fights to retain its hold on Congress in the midterm elections. President Biden will travel to Pennsylvania on Thursday to deliver a rare primetime speech on what the White House calls the battle for the soul of the nation. I'm not exaggerating. Whether you want to believe the conversation I've had, Sandy and I had on yesterday, and I'm continuing at this moment, that this nation is in peril and in jeopardy, you don't have to believe that. But it clearly is. And it's that way because of this man that people have locked into, knowing that he is dealing with some psychological issues. He's a dangerous, dangerous man. And dealing with some mental illness. Because, again, to think that 2 years later somehow he's requesting that they overturn the election from 2 years ago and put him in the presidency seat immediately, if you can't figure that out, that there's something wrong with him, then you need to be looking in the mirror. Let's go to Jack from Merrimack. Hey, good morning, Jack. How you doing, man? Thank you very much for the call. Thank you for listening. You say what?
Well, this isn't stupidity, and it's not insanity, and it's not even dementia. This whole thing is just being used as an excuse by the Republican lackeys of Trump to re-elections that follow. They're making gerrymandering worse. They're enacting more voter disenfranchisement laws. They're purging voter rolls. There's voter suppression. They're even trying to pass laws that would allow partisan state legislatures to ignore the popular vote and appoint their own lackeys to office. I mean, that's what this is really all about. It's an obvious, transparent, and in my opinion, illegal attempt to disrupt an lawful government system. That's the system of voting. That's called sedition. By the definition in the online dictionary, sedition is an action inciting resistance to lawful authority to cause disruption of the government, and that's exactly what this is, and it needs to be prosecuted.
Well,
person's opinion for what it's worth.
Well, Jack, let me say this. Whether or not it'll be prosecuted or not is a difficult thing. And when there's threats of violence, then whether or not the prosecution will take place, it shouldn't be based on whether or not there are threats of violence, right? If it's a crime, it should be prosecuted. But where
Absolutely.
We sit right now, there's this conversation about, well, we've got to understand how people feel. No, we don't. No, we don't. Because have you heard, Jack, have you heard any Democrats say, we're armed, and if we don't get our way, we are going to make threats to overthrow the government? Have you heard that come from the Democrats at all anywhere?
Not anywhere, and not only that, but the Republicans that are threatening this aren't even saying something like, of course, we really should have peaceful demonstrations, but and it's absolutely wrong for violence. But they don't say that. They simply say, oh, we're going to have, you know, people rioting in the streets.
So,
and that to me is inexcusable.
So CJ calls and says, well, Mandela Barnes says defund the police. Okay. You know, he wore a T-shirt that said defund the police. Hey, man, don't you understand? These people on the right are heavily armed, are making threats to the government, and he can't even comprehend where the real inherent danger lies. Not somebody wearing a T-shirt that says defund the police, but somebody, people who are heavily armed, and we've seen what these people are capable of doing, right? I mean,
we saw January 6th that was pretty well advertised, not only on TV, but the people involved were all over the internet.
So,
we know what these people are capable of doing.
So if we know what these, and we know what they're armed with, and so when they continue to make the kinds of threats that they continue to make, our government, if she has not prepared herself for the worst, I got a question. Why she has not? Because no group of people, be they Democrat or Republican, should be able to make vile threats to a government, and then the government responds in a manner that, you know, they're afraid because this might get ugly. It'll only get ugly if these people decide to attack the government again. Jack, is that a correct response?
It seems to me to be the case. Yep. It's just the Republican Party it seems to be the party of fascism in this country at this point. It's really Jamie Raskin said it. About a year ago, he was on an NPR interview, and one of the quotes that I have from him is something like, I wish the Democratic Party weren't the only democracy party in this country, but it now is. That's the situation we're in.
So the Republicans don't like to be called fascists, right? Well, they're calling us fascists. You know, I'm not a fascist. Oh, okay. It hurts you to be called a fascist, right? Well, then stop acting like one. And, you know, and then maybe, you know, what do you think people are going to say and do when they see people acting in a manner that these people are acting? And, you know, it doesn't matter. Well, this is how they feel, okay? The government is not supposed to respond to how somebody feels. That's not what our government is supposed to be doing. It's supposed to be responding to whether or not you are a threat to the American people and to the government. That's how they need to be responding. Hey, Jack, thank you very much for the call. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. What do you say? You tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be back.